Welcome to the Padres postgame show on the Padres Radio Network. Coming up, we'll deliver a full recap of the game with highlights, player interviews, and we'll take you down to the manager's office to hear from Jay Stingler. Plus, an update on the scores from around baseball, final comments from the radio booth, and of course, your phone calls. You can call us at 833-288-0973. Catch it all here on the Padres Radio Network.
Oh, the Padres. They were so close yet again to taking another game from the Dodgers. This one, very winnable game for the Padres. They had the tying run at least on third base in the last three innings. So another game where they leave some runners in scoring position in big moments. But there is so much to talk about tonight. I don't want to, you know, downplay what has happened in the game and especially what Fernando Tatis Jr. did in the game. We'll get to that in 1 second. We're also waiting for Padres manager Jace Tingler to sit down with the media and do his post-game press conference. As soon as he does that, we will take you right to what he is saying. And if you have any questions or if you have any comments about the game tonight or what you've seen in the last couple days, please do give us a call, 833-288-0973. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. If you have any thoughts about Jace Tingler taking Blake Snell out of the game early, give us a call. If you have any thoughts about Fernando Tatis and how he's caught back on fire, give us a call, 833-288-0973. There have been six games between the Padres and the Dodgers in this young 2021 season so far. And in one way or another, all of them have been awesome games. Tonight was no different, and we need to just stop everything right now and acknowledge that Fernando Tatis Jr., I'm going to say it, he's officially broken out of his slump. He had two home runs last night against Clayton Kershaw. And what did he do tonight to follow up? He had two home runs against Trevor Bauer and another wrinkle of the Trevor Bauer home runs that he hit. He took a bunch of great shots at Trevor Bauer, and I loved every minute of it. But I can keep saying it because it's true. If you don't think these games mean anything to these guys this early in the season, then you are wrong. And I hate to say that you're wrong, but these guys are playing like it's October. The Padres lose to the Dodgers 5-4. Bauer gets the win and moves to 3-0 on the year. Pierce Johnson takes the loss for the Padres, and Kenley Jansen gets his fifth save of the year. Now let's go back to the Fernando Tatis Jr. home runs real quick. And after he hit his first home run to lead off the game, he put his hand, while he was going around first base, he put his hand over his eye. And if you remember, Trevor Bauer in spring training pitched with one eye against the Padres and made a big deal about it and made a big old joke about it. So Fernando, he went around first base, turned around to the dugout, the Padres dugout, put his hand over his eye. Everybody had a good laugh about it. Then in the with his second home run he hit in the night, which I heard Tony Gwynn Jr. say on the broadcast, he didn't even know how it was possible to hit the ball as far as he did from where the ball was thrown. It was a slider off the plate, and it was a slider outside that was taken into the seats in left center. So this time, when Fernando Tatis Jr. crossed home plate, he did the Conor McGregor strut that Bauer loves to do. You know, when Bauer strikes out a guy and he's walking off the mound, and he does the, you know, the shoulder shimmy kind of walk, like the confident walk. Well, Fernando Tatis Jr. crossed home plate and did that right in Trevor Bauer's face. And you know what? I got to give it to Trevor Bauer. He's able to handle it. He didn't get upset or anything like that. And you think that he would get upset, but he didn't. He did. And I loved every minute of what I saw from Fernando Tatis Jr. This is just creating a bigger rivalry going forward. All right. I know that Jace Tingler is sitting down right now. If you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. But before we go any further in the Padres postgame show, let's hear from Padres manager Jace Tingler.
Let's take a trip down to the Padres clubhouse and hear from the manager, Jace Tingler. Presented by Sinley Food. Find your next cooking adventure at Sinley Food. 4665 El Cajon Boulevard. The Cook's Asian Resource.
Jace, what do you think of Blake Snell's outing tonight?
I thought he was, solid early. I thought his fastball, changeup, curveball were there. I don't think he had command of a slider until later in the game. I thought when able he was to get the slider kind of in the strike zone, out of the strike zone, strikes out of the hand. I thought that's when, you know, he was most effective. I think he battled And he put us in a position to win the game. He did his job against a really tough lineup. So overall, I thought it was, very positive for him and certainly one, I think, that he can get some momentum and get rolling.
It seemed like he was sharper in the first couple of innings, and then the command sort of got away from him in the third, and he fought it the rest of the way. Is it sort of a mechanical thing with him? We've seen some of these spurts before where the pitch count starts going up on him.
He's a big time field guy, and I think in two of those innings, it may have been the third and the fourth, I think we got the first two outs, and then there was some traffic, and so he's having to make some stressful pitches there in the third, the fourth. We got the big pickoff there with Bauer at the plate, and he picked a Haas, and we were able to get out of there. But I think to your point, if he lost a little bit of feel. That's when a couple of those pitches started adding up, and he did a great job of minimizing damage, and he pitched out of some traffic.
I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him about it, but that roller in the fourth inning, is that one that he believed was going to stop before it went foul, just a misread? What happened there?
I haven't talked to him yet. I think he just got caught up in the moment and thinking about making a play. It looked like it was gonna roll foul, and that's a tough one there. But those things happen in big moments, and that's something we got to be a little bit better at on the decision. But overall, he did a great job tonight.
Obviously another amazing night for Fernando with the two home runs, but specifically the second home run, it looked off speed pitch. It looked like he was a little bit off front, had to reach for it a little bit, didn't keep both hands on the bat. I guess the point is a pretty good sign. I would think that it doesn't have to be a fastball inside that he keeps both hands on the bat. He can still get to the pitch away, and the strength is still amazing, even with the shoulder issues that he's had.
Yeah, it's super encouraging to see right now. And we know he's not going to finish two hands all the time. Sometimes he's going to ride out an off-speed pitch. We're just hoping to avoid kind of the wild, kind of violent high finish. And he's done a great job of just slowing down and being in control of his swing and his body.
Thank you, Jason.
Kevin Macy.
Hey, Jace, who was down in the bullpen today? As in, who was unavailable?
We were going to avoid Palm tonight. That's one for sure. And we got some guys hanging down there, no doubt. But we had some guys that were available to pitch if needed. But I think most importantly, we're trying to get Palm down tonight.
I know it didn't work out, but given what you just explained, how big what Northcraft did in his first game here at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, it was huge. And I think the first two guys got on, and then he settled in. I think he found his sinker. I think it started to bottom out there, and he was able to get some swing and miss and get some ground balls. And that was huge for us. And not being able to tax the bullpen tonight in a tight game. He certainly saved our bacon.
That was Padres manager Jace Tingler speaking with the media after the game. Now, there has been a ton of chatter on Twitter about Blake Snell and whether or not it was the right move for them to take him out of the game. Well, I saw Ben Higgins' tweet earlier on, and of course Ben's going to make sense because he said it's fair to criticize the move, but Snell was going to have a high pitch count, or have a pitch count, I'm sorry, all through April. And so that's maybe why they took him out and all that stuff. But Ben Higgins making sense once again. All right, I want to go out to the phone lines real quick before we go to break. We have Carlos in San Marcos. Carlos, you're on the Padres postgame show. What's up?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Snell, obviously love his interviews, great clubhouse guy, but are we a little concerned on how he hasn't really gone too late into the games? I know they pulled him a little premature a couple times, but are we a little concerned how long he's stayed in the games at this point?
I would say, based on what I just said now with Ben Higgins saying that they had talked about a pitch count throughout all of spring training and through all of April, I would say no, but if he makes two, three more starts and he's not getting through a sixth inning, then I think that there's something maybe there. But I don't think that it should be concerning, because Blake Snell is doing what he needs to do, and it's early in the year. He'll be fine. But Carlos, you're thinking that you're a little concerned so far that he hasn't been able to hit six innings this year.
Yeah, just a bit. I mean, with his history, I know the Rays, they have a different system over there, but I don't know. I mean, not that I haven't liked what I've seen, but he does seem to labor, not on a frantic level when stuff starts to happen in the games, but I would like to see a little more elongated games, like what Darvish has done, what Musgrove has done. And again, it might be a pitch count thing, but I want to see guys go deep in the game, especially to eat up some innings and help our bullpen out. They've been labored so far in the year.
Yeah, that's a great point, Carlos. Thank you for calling the Padres postgame show. I will say you're on to something with how he can get Blake Snell, that is, he can get two outs real quick, and then he's not able to get that third out for the rest of the inning, which it kind of is giving him a little bit of trouble. I know when he was in Pittsburgh pitching against the Pirates, he didn't even make it out of the first inning because he got the two outs real quick, and then he could not get that third out. So there is a little bit of something there that I've seen a few times this year of him struggling to get that third out. So I'm not really sure what contributes to that. But as of right now, as long as he's not leaving the game within an inning or two innings or something like that, I think 5 1/3 tonight in this sort of game in April is okay. But yes, I agree with Carlos. I think that I want to see him go late in the game going forward, because Yu Darvish has already shown he can handle himself. I mean, Joe Musgrove has already shown he can go deep into a game. Blake Snell, though, I know that he's capable of going deep into a game, but he hasn't been able to do it. And so I said it on the pregame show, maybe There is some chatter. Kevin Cash of the Rays, the manager, knows something that people don't know about Blake Snell and going into the sixth inning. So something to keep an eye on, and we'll talk about it this week on Quinn and Chris and whether or not we think that there's something there. But thank you for the phone call, Carlos. If you have anything to say tonight on the Padres postgame show, please give us a call, 833-288-0973. You can also tweet me at Matt Scraby or at 973TheFanSD. When we come back, we're going to go through all of the highlights, and there was a lot that happened in the game tonight. And then we're going to talk with Coach John Katera about what he thought. Maybe we'll get his thoughts on Blake Snell and how deep he's going into the game. So all of that is up ahead. I am Matt Scraby. Padres lose to the Dodgers 5-4 in the third game of this four-game series. So the Padres still lead the series 2-1. They'll go tomorrow on Sunday Night Baseball. But as of right now, we're talking about the 5-4 loss to the Dodgers, and we'll be back here shortly on 97.3 The Fan.
Let's listen back to the most exciting plays from today's game with our game highlights presented by Eco Water SoCal. What's in your water? Find out online at ecowatersocal.com and schedule your free water test today. That's ecowatersocal.com.
Matt Scraby back with you here on the Padres postgame show, 97.3 The Fan. Padres lose to the Dodgers 5-4 tonight. Fernando Tatis Jr., though, you'll see in these highlights, he is doing some good things right now, and he has finally turned it around, so we can stop being worried about him. All right, let's see if I can keep all these straight, because there was a lot that happened, and let's just start out. You know, I asked Jesse Agler before the game why Jace Tingler likes Fernando Tatis Jr. in the leadoff spot, and I think this is why.
Hitting two home runs at Dodger Stadium on the anniversary of his dad's two Grand Slam game. And guess what? This one in the air. Deep to left field. Pollock at the wall. It's going to go. A leadoff home run for Fernando. And Tatis hits his third home run of the series. Padres jump in front 1-0 right off the bat. Second pitch of the night. And a leadoff homer.
And like I said in the open, while rounding first, Fernando Tatis Jr. covered one of his eyes, throwing shade at Trevor Bauer for his one-eyed thing from spring training. It was the second pitch of the game, as Jesse just said, Tatis Jr.'s third home run in 24 hours, his fifth on the year, and a 1-0 lead for the Padres in the top of the first inning. And I saw this stat on Twitter. That was Fernando Tatis Jr.'s ninth career leadoff home run, and that leaves him with one behind Will Venable for the most leadoff home runs in team history. Over the next 14 years, I have a feeling we're probably going to get a couple more leadoff home runs, so that record is going to fall very soon. But that did anger Trevor Bauer, and he struck out Trent Grisham and Manny Machado. Blake Snell cruises through the bottom of the first, needed only 10 pitches to retire the Dodgers 1-2-3. To lead off the top of the second, Will Myers battled Trevor Bauer for 13 pitches and finally singled into center field. Jake Cronenworth strikes out, but Dodgers catcher Will Smith, he dropped a foul ball and was charged with an error that allowed Will Myers to steal second. Then Jerks and Profar came up to bat and helped bring his friend home.
2-2 pitch, lifted into center field. Peters coming in, won't get there. Another base hit to center. Myers rounding third, going to try and score. Here comes the throw, up the line, not in time. And an RBI single by Profar puts the Padres in front 2-0 in the second.
And as you heard, Jesse, Padres 2-0 after 1.5 innings. In the bottom of the second, Blake Snell allowed a single to Will Smith to start the inning, but got the next three guys out and finished the second inning strong. Trevor Bauer strikes out Fernando Tatis Jr. and Trent Grisham, then forces Manny Machado to ground out. So nothing going on for the Padres in the top of the third. In the bottom of the third, it started with two straight strikeouts for Blake Snell. Then Mookie Betts singled. Corey Singer singled. Then the potential pest of the game, Justin Turner, did this.
Runners will go on 3-2. Snell ready. Here's the pitch to Turner, and that is lined in the left field, a base hit. Betts will score. On his way to third is Seager. The throw comes into third, not in time. RBI single, Justin Turner. A 2-1 Padre lead now, and three straight two-out singles against Blake Snell.
You know, for a bunch of fans who don't really care about a meaningless game in April, they were pretty loud when Justin Turner did that. So you could say that the Dodgers fans may be a little bit more into it than they're leading on. Seager was on third, Turner on first. Will Smith was up to bat with a full count and two outs, and Blake Snell needed a strike.
I have to make a big 3-2 pitch here, though.
Turner will run from first base. Seager leads at third. 3-2 to Will Smith. Here it is. And a curveball outside corner. Strike three called. Snell got one there. His third strikeout of the inning. And the Padres get out of the jam in this third inning.
I'll admit, that was a ball, and it should have been bases loaded, but it wasn't, and the Padres kept the lead 2-1. Trevor Bauer, though, once again took no time to retire the Padres, and they were 3-up, 3-down. Then things got weird in the bottom of the fourth inning. Snell was on the mound. He gave up a single to A.J. Pollock. Max Muncy walks on four straight pitches, so there's runners on first and second. And here's the weird part. Caratini throws to Manny Machado, and he just flat-out drops it, so Pollock steals third, and Muncy moves to second on the air. Sheldon Noisy singled because of a weird decision by Blake Snell to pick up a ball that was clearly going foul. That allows Pollock to score and tie up the game at two. And while Trevor Bauer was hitting, Snell tried to pick off Noisy, and they ended up getting him out at second base on a big-time base-running error. So big break for the Padres. Bauer then grounded out to third, and that ended that weird inning. Trevor Bauer, though, he once again took care of business, getting Profar, Caratini, and Blake Snell out for an easy inning. Blake Snell saw five batters in the bottom of the fifth. He struck out Mookie Betts, got Corey Seager to fly out, walked Justin Turner. Will Smith doubled down the left field line, which was the first extra base hit for the Dodgers on the night, but Justin Turner could only get to third. So with runners on first and third, Blake Snell struck out A.J. Pollock swinging with a nasty 87-mile-per-hour slider on the inside part of the plate, and it was to the top of the sixth we went. Fernando Tatis Jr. leads off, and I'll let Jesse Agler tell you what happened.
Here it is from Bauer, and reach four, hit in the air to left center field, well struck again. Peters going back again, at the wall, gonna go!
Yes, sir.
Fernando with his second of the night off of Bauer. Got him in the first, he gets him in the sixth, and the Padres back in front, 3-2. One eye, two eye, doesn't matter.
This kid is special. Excuse me as I stutter around third base on the home run track.
That's what Fernando does. I need to look up why he does that, but I'm sure there's a reason. There's got to be a reason. Someone has to have asked him by this point, so I'll look that up and try to see if I can find it tonight. But that's the first time in his career he's had back-to-back multi-home run games. So he had two home runs last night off of Clayton Kershaw, two home runs tonight off Trevor Bauer. Think about what he did, though. That is pretty awesome. Two Cy Young Award winners that he took deep twice in two nights. Fernando Tatis Jr., he is the first player with consecutive multi-homer games as a visitor at Dodger Stadium since Barry Bonds on April 2nd and 3rd, 2002. So he's joining another club. Moving on in the game, Blake Snell gets Max Muncy to ground out, and that was it for him in the game. He departed with a win on the line. Snell went 5 1/3, allowed 7 hits, 2 earned runs, walked 2, and struck out 7 on 87 pitches. Pierce Johnson replaced Blake Snell and gave up a single to Noisy. Not real sure why they made this move, but Blake Snell wasn't really as sharp as he had been, but it is what it is. Chris Taylor pinch hit for DJ Peters, and he singled, runners on first and second. Matt Beaty pinch hit for Trevor Bauer, and he singled to left. Bases were loaded with Mookie Betts at the plate, and Pierce Johnson didn't have his best stuff. He ended up doing this.
And the 3-1 pitch to Betts is a fastball outside, ball four. The game is tied. A bases loaded walk to Mookie Betts, and we are 3-3 in the sixth.
And so 3-3 was the score. Tim Hill replaced Pierce Johnson, and there was a double play that went down, so they got out of the inning. He got Justin Turner's strikeout for the second out, and then he forced Will Smith to ground out to end the bottom of the sixth inning, but the damage was done. The Dodgers led 5-3. Top of the seventh started with the Dodgers pitcher Victor Gonzalez replacing Trevor Bauer. Jake Cronenworth walked, Profar struck out, Caratini singled to the left center. Jace Tingler then had Tommy Pham pitch hit for Tim Hill while Blake Treinen replaced Gonzalez. Tommy Pham with a good at-bat, singles to right, and the bases were loaded. By the way, that's four straight games with a hit for Tommy Pham, for all you Tommy Pham haters out there. Fernando Tatis Jr. came up to the plate, and the Padres got another run. However, he ended up striking out, and so did Trent Grisham. Grisham was close to his pitch was close to being a ball, but I think it may have been a make-good Blake Snell pitch earlier. Now, the Padres went with new pitcher Aaron Northcraft, who was making his Major League debut after years and years in the minor leagues. He got himself into trouble by allowing a single to A.J. Pollock, and Matt Muncy then walked. Luke Rayleigh pinch hit and struck out. Then Northcraft got a double play and got out of the inning. A wild pitch then made it 5-4 Dodgers, so the Padres come within one, but the Padres couldn't score anymore. Trent Grisham was the final chance for the Padres, and here's what happened.
Jansen set, an outside target from Smith. The pitch is swung on and missed, strike three. Fastball at 95 miles an hour, and Kenley Jansen gets it done, a four-out save.
As good as Trent Grisham has been since he came back from the injured list, tonight was not one of those nights. He struck out four times, and I believe that's the golden sombrero for all of you out there. If you strike out four times in a game, you get the golden sombrero. It's not really a golden thing, anyway. So the Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4, and now the series is split 3-3. So things are going very well for both teams here in this series. They're battling back and forth. And with that, we are now going to be joined by Coach John Quintera. He watched the game tonight. Coach, how are you doing? What were you seeing tonight with Blake Snell?
Well, I thought Blake Snell at times pitched very well tonight in this game. I didn't think he had a real good slider tonight. Unfortunately, too many pitches. And, you know, you can argue whether or not Jace Tingler should have let him stay in there and try to finish the sixth inning. You got Max Muncy on a ground out for the first out, decided to go to the bullpen, and obviously that didn't work out. Pierce Johnson couldn't throw strikes tonight. They ended up walking in a run, giving up three runs, never recorded an out. Tim Hill comes in and, of course, gives up the two-run single to Corey Seager, who had two hits tonight. But, again, you know, we can sit here and say, well, Jace pulled him too early. The bottom line, Blake Snell's got to attack the strike zone a little bit more. Too many pitches for where he was at in the ball game. And, you know, Tingler's down there. And there's been times this year, Matt, where I've questioned Jace taking guys out. I mean, I'm a believer. You got to push those starting pitchers a little bit. And I don't want to hear about pitch counts. The hitters normally decide when a pitcher should be done for the night, okay? It's not normally a pitch count. If those guys are swinging the bat, getting good swings, that's when you got to get them out of there. I thought he could have stayed with him tonight, but in fairness to Jace, he's down there, he's watching, he's talking to the catcher, and he felt it was time to go, and unfortunately it didn't work out tonight.
Yeah, it didn't work out tonight. Blake Snell still searching for his first win as a Padre, and Twitter was very they were questioning the move, obviously, because of what you just said. But is there any concern to you that Blake Snell hasn't been able to go six innings since 2019? I said that on the pregame show. It's been since July something, 2019, since he's logged at least six innings. I mean, he's done the five-inning thing, the 5 2/3, but not six. Is there anything behind that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think Blake Snell could learn a lot by watching Ryan Weathers. I mean, here's a kid 21 years of age that's fearless. He's not afraid. He goes out there. He challenges hitters. I think Blake Snell's got some of the best stuff in baseball. And he may be the best left-hander in baseball. You know, only time's going to tell this year. But right now, he hasn't pitched to the level that I think he's capable of. I think he's got to be more aggressive. I think he's got to be more aggressive in the strike zone and not try to get guys to swing and miss. He needs to go and attack guys, get them out in 2 and 3 and 4 pitches rather than 7 and 8 pitches and drive that pitch count up. I mean, your goal as a pitcher when you go out there, and very seldom do guys do this. I know Kershaw last night almost had like a perfect inning of striking out three guys
inning,
on 9 pitches. He ended up, having 10 pitches. But when you go out there every inning, your goal should be, or at least it used to be with a lot of pitchers, to throw between 12 and 15 pitches per inning and get the heck off the mound. Now you're seeing guys go 20, 23, 25. Well, if you have an early inning where you're going 23 or 25 pitches, I got news for you. You're not going to be around probably past the fifth inning. So you better figure it out. You better attack hitters. Go at him. He's got good enough stuff. He may give up a solo home run here and there. Don't walk guys, but attack hitters. And you give up a solo home run, more times than not, that's not going to beat you. I think a lot of it's a mindset. I think those pitchers are also going out there thinking, well, I'm on a pitch count, and they're kind of looking, and then that puts a little more pressure on them. But, you know, Blake Snell's a much better pitcher, in my opinion, that we've seen so far this year. And, tonight, I think it's easy for a lot of us, including yours truly, to criticize Jace Tingler. I'm gonna put this a little more on Blake Snell tonight. And you know, it didn't pan out. The manager looks like a dummy when it doesn't pan out, but you know, he wasn't throwing the ball for Pierce Johnson either. Pierce Johnson, I don't think, has looked all that good since he's come off the IL, but that's a whole other issue. But as far as Blake Snell, I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, go at these hitters and try to get him out earlier in the count.
Yeah, so Blake Snell, I like what you're saying, Coach. You're putting it on Blake Snell. He's a professional. He's a major league pitcher. He should be able to. He knows what is expected of him, and he knows when he gets to what he needs to do. But let's talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. 4 home runs in the last 2 nights. Fans are rejoicing. The slump calls are over. What are you thinking about Fernando Tatis Jr. in these last couple games?
What I'm thinking is I'm thinking that he's doing what I think all of us thought he's capable of doing. I'm just hoping that shoulder can hold out. I was disappointed in him making that error late in the ball game tonight. Yeah. But when Fernando goes well, the Padres are going to be in a lot of ball games. When he doesn't play well or he's out of the lineup, they seem to struggle, whether it's the extra energy he brings to the table. But that's something they need to get over, because there are going to be days where he may not be able to play. If that shoulder's barking, they got to give him a day or two off, and let's hope that doesn't happen very often. I'd hope that it wouldn't happen at all, because I want to see him play, you know, a ton of baseball. But, you know, I look at that lineup tonight, Maddie, and kind of a rough night for Trent Grisham. I heard you talk 0-for-5 with 4 punch-outs.
Yeah.
Manny Machado did not have a good night tonight.
He had 3 punch-outs, too.
As well. Huh?
He had 3 strikeouts, Manny Machado.
Yeah, he punched out. I mean, the Padres punched out a total of 15 times tonight, and you're not going to win too many ball games. Now, you know, the other night, actually the day game, I think it was, they struck out 13 times against the Brew Crew, and they struck out the Brew Crew 17 times. But, well, I'll tell you what, the Padres early, when they were playing Arizona, you know, they were striking out 7 or 8 times. Now they're starting to play some guys that can pitch a little bit, and that offense starting to, those strikeouts are starting to mount. But, hey, nonetheless, Padres have taken the first 2 out of 3, and the way I'm looking at it right now, tomorrow night's Game 7. They're 3-3 right now so far. Game 7 tomorrow night, and of course we'll have it for you right here on 97.3 The Fan. How about that?
I love it. It's Sunday Night Baseball. It's going to be Joe Musgrove. It's going to be Dustin May. It's going to be some good stuff. Anything else, Coach, before we let you go?
Well, I am a little concerned about the Padre bullpen, and I want to congratulate Aaron Northcraft on making his Major League debut. Hell of an effort tonight. That kid, when you look at him, and I've known a little bit about him, I know one of the guys that has worked with him up in the Los Angeles area. He actually came out of Modern Day High School in Santa Ana, that baseball factory up there.
Football factory, too.
This kid, absolutely. This kid was drafted in the 10th round back by the Atlanta Braves in 2009. He's had some injuries. Major league debut tonight, two innings, one hit, a walk, two strikeouts. Did a really, really nice job. But the thing that I wanted to bring up, and I wanted to give Northcraft and his family a little plug on the radio there. That's a good job to break in the big leagues. But Drew Pomeranz, Pomeranz was able to go back-to-back, now he's not right. I mean, there's no telling, you know, what that shoulder's doing right now. But they don't want to pitch him on back-to-back nights because I have no doubt he'd have been the guy tonight going against Corey Seager rather than Tim Hill. Tim Hill has done, overall, a pretty good job. He's been used quite a bit lately. And you recall last week in that extra inning game, he gave up that home run to Seager leading off that inning to give the Dodgers a lead, in the 12th inning, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up the two-run single tonight. I really believe if Pomeranz would have been available and he wasn't available tonight, he'd have been the guy going after Seager rather than Tim Hill. So that's a problem right now, not having another good, solid left-hander who can bring heat. I mean, that's where a guy like Jose Castillo could have really helped this ball club. And maybe, just maybe, nobody's even talking about Matt Strom. Matt Strom ought to be back at some point in time. I haven't heard anything, word one, about him in the last month.
You know, I think back maybe 2 weeks ago, they said he was moved to the 60-day IL. So that's the last thing I heard about Matt Strom, is that it doesn't sound like he's close.
Yeah, so, hey, you know what? The boys are playing good ball. I mean, when you play a team like the Dodgers, as tough as the Padres have played in the last 3 days, you've taken two out of three. You come out, you lay it on the line, you empty the tank in that bullpen tomorrow night, by the way, because not only do you have an off day on Monday, you've got another off day on Thursday. So let it all hang out tomorrow night on national television and on 97.3 The Fan, and let's talk about three out of on Monday when I hit the airwaves.
I love it, Coach. I'm fired up. I'm ready to watch some baseball tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I'll be talking to you on Monday.
I will be looking forward to that, and let's hope the Padres can find a way to get out of LA with those three out of four in game seven tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Coach. Have a great night.
All righty, Maddie.
That was Coach John Quintero breaking it down. You can find him from noon to 3 weekdays, Monday through Friday, here on 97.3 The Fan. He has his show with Braden Suprenant, and they talk all about the Padres, and they're going to be talking all about this series come Monday for the off day for the Padres. All right, we have if you want to give us a call, you can, 833-288-0973. I have a bunch of tweets that I've been sent here while we've been talking with Coach and doing the highlights and all that. So I'm going to read some of those tweets when we get back, and then we are also going to hear our play of the game. But we're going to, I believe, hear from Blake Snell from his post-game press conference. So that's all coming up next on the Padres post-game show. I'm Matt Scraby, and this is 97.3 The Fan.
This is Austin Nola from the San Diego Padres. The 2021 Padres play here, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm so random. Right before we're about to go back on, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm like, hey, Brian, look at all those cool plants in the bullpen. It's just really stupid. Things that I notice. This is Matt Scraby. I'm back with you here on the Padres postgame show, 97.3 The Fan. Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4 tonight. Trevor Bauer gets the win. Pierce Johnson takes a loss. And Kenley Jansen gets his fifth save of the season. Fernando Tatis Jr. goes deep twice. And Blake Snell is still looking for his first win as a Padre. If you have anything you want to say, you can give us a call, 833-288-0973. Or you can tweet me, at Matt Scraby. I've got a couple tweets here from Padres fans. At Schmick21 said, at Matt Scraby, Snell struggled a bit, but was working through it. I get pulling him for season longevity, but the Dodgers haven't done that yet. They have brought the A-team with no restrictions. No rivalry, though, and I think that they are drawing attention to the fact that the Dodgers fans did not think there was a rivalry last week, but all of a sudden there is. So, you know, that's what they're doing with their team up there. They're putting their A-team in, according to @Schmick21. Sean Stevenson said, I believe the Padres had a lot of opportunities to win this game today. It's a bummer that we lost, but I think we'll bounce back tomorrow and win the ball game and beat the Dodgers and take the series before we play the D-backs. Sean is very positive all the time, and I like that, Sean. You always are looking at the best outcome for the upcoming games with the Padres. Thank you for tweeting at us, Sean. We have @Katie. I'm going to butcher your name, Katie. I'm really sorry. Grexic. That's probably totally wrong, and I apologize for that. But if you let me know, I'll pronounce it right next time. You tweeted me saying, great things from Tatis tonight. Hosmer was 2 for 4, but Manny, Jake, and Trent struggled at the plate tonight. That was rough. You said, also, we saw good things from Snell. I was bummed Tingler took him out, but the bullpen should be able to deal with the bottom of the lineup. All very good points. We go back to @Pods_OldFartFan, which I love some of these names. They tweeted me, and they said, I'm glad we only have one more game against the Dodgers until June. My heart can't take more. I think there was a lot of people feeling that way. @WallaceNick619, he said, tough loss, great game. Good to hear the bats of those who struggled are coming around. Teams positioned good. I'm excited for every single game. I am too. I am excited for every single game. The Padres have now split the series so far with the Dodgers, 6 games in, 3 wins apiece. So those are some of the tweets out there that you all are thinking about, all the different storylines from the game. You can tweet me @MattSkraby, MattSkraby as in boy, Y. Until we get some more of those tweets, we're going to have to go with some of our other segments, and we need to figure out who we're going to announce, or anoint is the word I was looking for, as the play of the game.
What was the turning point in today's game? Let's take a listen to the bold play of the game, presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. Bold, public, packed with lemonade flavor.
Here it is from Bauer, and reach four, hit in the air to left center field, well struck again. Peters going back again, at the wall, gonna go!
Yes, sir.
Fernando with his second of the night off of Bauer. Got him in the first, he gets him in the sixth, and the Padres back in front, 3-2. One eye, two eye, doesn't matter.
This kid is special. Excuse me as I stutter around third base on the home run trot.
I'm still looking. I'm not going to be able to find it tonight, I don't think, while we're doing this post-game show. But I will find it eventually, and I will let people know what I find about that. That was the play of the game, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s second home run off of Trevor Bauer in the sixth inning. The reason it was play of the game is because Tony Gwynn Jr. was talking about the plate appearance after the fact, and he said that that pitch is pretty much impossible to hit out of the ballpark. Even Trevor Bauer kind of like rolled his eyes like, really? I put that pitch in a perfect spot, and Fernando hit it out. It was a slider off the plate. He reached for it, and it went out to left center. So Tatis Jr. showing he's showing that his shoulder is feeling good. I just got a text from one of my friends, and they were saying, you know, I love Fernando Tatis Jr., but he needs to start hitting in higher leverage situations. And I can agree with that. You know, when there was late in the game, when there were chances for the Padres to score, they had runners on second, or they had runners on third, they had runners in scoring position, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. didn't come up with anything when he came up to the plate. And, you know, he's not going to hit a home run every single time. But I believe this was a complaint about Will Myers years ago, is that Will Myers used to hit solo shots. I mean, he would finish a season with 20, 25 home runs, but he would end up hitting about 17 solo shots in blowout games where the Padres are trailing by 10 runs. So it didn't really matter. Fernando's going to be fine. We all know that. We saw it tonight. But you need to keep an eye on that and keep an eye on him hitting with runners in scoring position in high leverage situations. They had a chance, the Padres, that is, three times tonight to either tie the game or take the lead, and they could not do it. So even though that they had won the last two games and they won convincingly, there are still some of those different problems with the offense that we saw early in the year, and it's coming back to haunt them in some of these games. So they're going to have to figure that out. Again, there's like 130 something more games left, and I think they'll be okay. Blake Snell was the talk of the night. He was looking for his first win as a Padre. He did not get it. He went 5 1/3 innings, gave up 7 hits, 2 earned runs, walked 2, struck out 7 on 87 pitches, and he was interviewed after the game by the media, and here's what he said.
Let's take you inside the clubhouse and find out what the Padres have to say after today's game on the Padres Radio Network.
We're going to start with Bob. This is Blake Snell. Here we go. Bob, what you got?
Blake, thanks for inviting me to go first. I appreciate it. Looked like you came out sharp today, and then it got a little tougher for you as the game went on, but you were able to keep fighting and battle through it. Overall, your assessment of the outing tonight?
Yeah, I felt like... Yeah, I was really efficient to start, and then I was really upset with the walks. They're just pretty bad walks. Like I think one was a 4 pitch, just not even close, and then that was to Muncy. So I was pretty upset about that. Overall, though, I was happier with the start because of the efficiency. I was happy with the way I attacked the zone, except against Mookie. Doubling up changeups to him. It all depends how I get there, but what I did in that sequence, I didn't like it. So I was pretty upset about that sequence. Overall, though, I mean, they just found holes. I mean, I was making good pitches. It's not like it was line drive after line drive. I made a lot of good pitches. They just were able to find holes, and that's part of the reason why they were able to get the runs they got. But yeah, I feel like I got stronger as the game went on. Honestly, velo was higher. I felt more comfortable with certain pitches. So yeah, but again, I gotta go through the game, the video, watch, learn, see what I like, don't like. But with the adjustments that I made from the first time I faced them till tonight, I'm happy with a lot of things that I adjusted throughout the starts. So I'm happy with that, but definitely a lot of work left to be done.
Last time you'd mentioned something mechanically about your front shoulder and not feeling 100% comfortable with how you were using that. Did you feel better with that tonight, or is that something that you're still working on?
Yeah, I feel a lot better. It was something that I worked on the last, 6 days that I had in between starts. So I was able to work on it, be pretty focused on it, and I felt like the ball came out with a lot more life today than it did the last start. So I was happy with that, but again, I got to watch video. I got to see. It's kind of crazy. Some starts I remember everything. Some starts I don't remember a whole lot. So being able to watch the video and really – break it down, I'll be able to learn a lot more.
I'm just curious, when it's going well, does that affect your velocity and command more? Or when it's not, what sort of goes out? How does it reveal itself when it's not going well?
I don't know. I never really look at it as it's not going well. I feel like it's always going well. It's just in control of what's happening. I always feel good. I always have good stuff. I always have options on how to attack hitters. So a lot of it is just, where was I mentally? Why did I, like when I throw a ball, was I 100% locked in? Was I 100% convinced that was the pitch I wanted to throw? Stuff like that. My body language can tell, I mean, it could tell me a lot because obviously I know myself and I know how I think. So I could see a lot more than what anyone else can see.
I don't really know what that meant, but Blake Snell, you can always count on Blake Snell to give you some interesting answers, to say the least, / fun answers. And I appreciate him being so upfront and honest with everyone. I'm someone who admits too much all the time, who just has a, you know, doesn't have a filter. And Blake Snell is another person who's not afraid to tell you what he's thinking, good or bad. And I have to appreciate that, and I have to respect that a lot. So Blake Snell does not get the win. You heard it. He wasn't happy with his walks. He's going to have to get that better. Coach said it earlier. This one is on Blake Snell. Blake Snell is going to be the first guy to tell you that this is on him. He's going to take the mound every single time, and he's going to tell you after the game, if he doesn't win, that it was his fault that they didn't win. And that's the kind of pitcher that you want on your team, I think, at least. I mean, I would find that very cool if I was the teammate. And even though maybe Pierce Johnson gave up the game, Blake Snell puts it on him. That's a good move. Good teammate move right there. The Dodgers, they beat the Padres 5-4 tonight. The Padres are now 12-11 on the year. The Dodgers are now 15-6 on the year. Trevor Bauer moves to 3-0 on the season with the win. Pierce Johnson takes the loss, goes 0-1. Kenley Jansen with his fifth save of the season. If you have anything you want to say, call us 833-288-0973, or you can tweet us or tweet me at Matt Scraby. But for right now, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we are going to check in with all those scores around Major League Baseball, and we're going to choose our player of the game. So all of that is ahead. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres Post Game Show on 97.3 The Fan.
This is Dinesh Lamet for San Diego Padres. You're listening to San Diego Padres Baseball on the Padres Radio Network.
Just for the record, that is my favorite rejoin out of all of them, that Dinesh Lamet rejoin. And we're going to hopefully see Dinesh Lamet here in the next couple weeks when he gets off the injured list. And hopefully there's no problems with his elbow and his throwing arm, all that good stuff. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. Padres lose to the Dodgers 5-4. They still lead this series at least 2-1. The final game tomorrow night, Sunday Night Baseball, first pitch at 4:08 p.m. Joe Musgrove on the mound for the Padres and Dustin May on the mound for the Dodgers. I wanted to read some tweets real quick from Trevor Bauer, some of the reporters who jumped in on his Zoom call to see what he had to say about Fernando Tatis Jr. taking him deep twice, as well as doing the one-eyed salute slash the McGregor strut across the plate. And according to at Bill Plunkett OCR, he says that Trevor Bauer said, quote, "I'm all for it. I think it's important for the game to move in that direction instead of throwing at guys for showing emotion." I love that. I love that sentiment by Trevor Bauer. He gets it if that's really truly how he feels. AJ Cassavell tweeting about what Bauer said about his home runs. He said, quote, "It's just fun when you know you're facing a guy like that. He's doing his stuff. He's having fun on the mound. And when you get him and you celebrate too." So another positive quote from Trevor Bauer. And then Annie Halbrun, who joined us this week on Gwen and Chris, she also tweeted out some reactions from Trevor Bauer on the Tatis Jr. home run celebrations. He said, "It happened. He got me at home, so probably payback time. It's just fun. When you know you're facing a guy like that, he's having fun, and you get him and you celebrate too." So all positive stuff out of Trevor Bauer tonight. Did not take offense to what Fernando Tatis Jr. did, and I'm really happy to hear that, because if there's anyone who should be able to take their own medicine, it is Trevor Bauer. Because if he's going to pound his chest and McGregor strut off the mound, then, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. can do his one-eyed thing as well. So that's all fun and good. Now, let's check in and find out who we are choosing for the player of the game.
Which player had the biggest impact on today's game? Let's take a look at the player of the game. Presented by Valley View Casino and Hotel, San Diego's favorite casino and dining.
Hitting two home runs at Dodger Stadium on the anniversary of his dad's 2 Grand Slam game. And guess what? This one in the air. Deep to left field. Pollock at the wall. It's going to go. A leadoff home run for Fernando. And Tatis hits his third home run of the series. Padres jump in front 1-0 right off the bat. Second pitch of the night and a leadoff homer.
And our player of the game, Fernando Tatis Jr., 2 home runs. He went 2-for-5 tonight with 2 RBIs, 2 solo shots. He struck out twice, But he did end up getting to the Dodgers first. I got to admit, I walked out of the room for a second just to grab some water, do some things before I sat down and settled in, and I came back. Fernando had already had a home run, and I broke my rule. I never leave the room when Fernando's up to bat. I never do, and I did this time, and he made me pay for it. So I'm gladly going to pay for it. But Fernando Tatis Jr., at least for tonight, is the player of the game, and he has 4 home runs in the last 2 nights. So seems like he's kind of finding his way at the plate a little bit, and all of the panic can just go away. I think we play it on the show on Gwen and Chris when Aaron Rodgers said, relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Okay, enough of me doing spelling things on the radio. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. Let's find out what happened tonight in baseball.
Time to check the scores around the big leagues with the Out of Town Scoreboard on the Padres Radio Network.
Tampa Bay broke an 8th inning tie when Toronto third baseman Kevin Biggio let a grounder go between his legs, and the Rays went on to beat the Blue Jays of Florida 5-3 tonight. Jordan Romano, reinstated from the 10-day injured list before the game, walked Brandon Lau and Mike Brousseau to start the 8th, and then old friend alert, Manny Margot hit a grounder that got past Biggio for the air, allowing Lau to score and put the Rays ahead 4-3. Brousseau was thrown out at the plate on shortstop Bo Bichette's relay from left fielder Lourdes Gurriel Jr., and Margot advanced to third on the play and then later scored on Kevin Kiermaier's grounder. So Tampa Bay takes down the Blue Jays 5-3. This one was a heavyweight matchup of all heavyweight matchups in the pitching world. Gerrit Cole in the Yankees was one pitch better than Shane Bieber in a heavyweight matchup of aces, as Rougned Odor and Aaron Hicks homered off Cleveland's Cy Young winner in the 5th inning, giving the Yankees a 2-1 win over the Indians tonight. Cole is now 3-1. He struck out 11 and allowed just 3 hits in 7 innings to beat Bieber, who is now 2-2, in a rematch of their meeting in last year's playoffs. Cole's 50 strikeouts in his first 5 starts are the most for any pitcher in the Yankees' storied history. If you're going to set records as a Yankee, you're doing something very well, because the Yankees have so many good players in their history and so many seemingly unbreakable records. Shane Bieber, he struck out 9, the first time he hasn't reached double digits in 5 starts, and he tied Hall of Famer Randy Johnson's record with his 17th straight start of at least 8 strikeouts. And get this, Shane Bieber is only 25 years old. I didn't realize that. I thought he was much older than that. He's been at the major league level for a while, dominating. So 25-year-old right-hander allowed just 3 hits, but 2 of them are homers, and he threw a career-high 119 pitches. So the Yankees beat the Indians 2-1. The Angels were routed 16-2 by the Houston Astros today, and it came after a surprising relief pitcher made his major league debut. Kent Emmanuel had just sat down in the bullpen and was preparing to enjoy a cup of coffee during the first inning on Saturday. And he said after the game, quote, "All of a sudden they were like, hey, you better start loosening up. I was like, all right, here we go." After toiling in the minors for 7 long seasons, the Astros pitcher was thrown into his major league debut at just a moment's notice. Now get this, he worked 8 2/3 innings in relief, saving Houston's bullpen after Jake Odorizzi left early with an injury. I believe he was only 5 pitches in before he had to leave that game. The Astros routed the Angels again 16-2. But I don't think I've ever heard of a relief appearance that lasted 8 2/3 innings. It's ridiculous. Emmanuel said he's been expecting this moment for quite some time, so he was ready. He allowed 5 hits and 2 runs. He became the 4th pitcher in the modern era to have a relief outing of 8 2/3 innings or more in his debut, according to Stats. Joining Fred Smith in 1907, Maury Kent in 1912, and John Montefiusco in 1974. So I'm surprised even 3 of those guys have done that. That's pretty cool. Dusty Baker said after the game, "Sometimes it's better that a young man in his first outing doesn't have time to sleep on it or think about it. You just go out there and give him the ball." So he gets his debut out of the way, and the Astros win 16-2. Jed Lowry hit a 3-run home run, and the Oakland A's won their 13th straight game, building a big lead early and beating the Baltimore Orioles 7-2 on a pretty rainy Saturday night. This is the 3rd longest winning streak in Oakland history. The A's won 14 straight in 1988, and then they set an American League record with 20 consecutive victories in 2002. Cleveland broke that mark with 22 straight wins in 2017. And this current A's string is the longest in the majors since that long Indians run. The A's, they lost their first six games of the season, and they have now won 13 straight, and they've outscored opponents 83-36 during their winning streak. So A's are rolling. Joe Ross rebounded from the worst outing of his career by pitching six solid innings and helping himself in the RBI single as the Nationals beat the New York Mets 7-1 today. Ross allowed five hits and one walk while striking out four. He gave up 10 runs in 4 1/3 innings against the Cardinals on Monday. Michael Conforto homered for the Mets in the fourth. New York, they threatened after Conforto's shot off the right field foul pole, but after giving up infield singles to J.D. Davis and Jeff McNeil, Ross came back from a 3-1 count and got James Buchanan to line out. The Mets, they just got one runner into scoring position against Ross and the trio of relievers, and Marcus Stroman takes the loss. Now, I tuned into this game because of Marcus Stroman, and I gotta say, he's a Trevor Bauer-esque guy. He makes news when he gets on the mound. He makes his start. And today, when I was watching, he got into a fight with the umpire during his warm-up pitches. I mean, not really a fight. They were just jawing back and forth and everything like that. But when Marcus Stroman is starting, tune in, because something cool and crazy is going to happen. Pinch hitter Manny Pena connected for a tie-breaking two-run homer in the seventh inning, and the Brewers held off the Cubs for a 4-3 victory today. Brent Suter pitched two scoreless innings in relief of Freddy Peralta, helping Milwaukee to its fourth win in five games. Josh Hader got three outs for his fourth save in four opportunities, working around a leadoff walk. Keston Hiura had three hits. He's trying to break out of his slump. And Colton Wong, who came off the IL, finished with two hits as the Brewers won the game 4-3. Cubs manager David Ross, he was ejected by plate umpire Corey Blazer in the ninth following a strike one call on Jake Marisnyk with a runner on first and none out. Marisnyk then struck out on three pitches, so Brewers win 4-3. John Gant earned his first victory as a starter since 2018 by throwing six strong innings, and the Cardinals sent the Reds to their sixth straight loss, 2-0 today. Andrew Knysner, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, he was subbing for injured catcher Yadier Molina and Nolan Arenado. They both drove in a run. Dylan Carlson added three singles as St. Louis won a series for just a second time this season. After waiting out a rain delay of 2 hours and 20 minutes before throwing his first pitch, Gant allowed just three hits. The Reds now have lost for the eighth time in 10 games. Wade Miley gave up two runs on five hits in six innings and moves to 2-2. Michael Perez had three hits and three RBIs, helping Trevor Cahill and the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Twins tonight. Cahill, he permitted one run and two hits in six innings, and he retired the Twins in order in five of his innings. Minnesota lost for the 10th time in 12 games, so they are really having a tough time right now. Kyle Seager singled, doubled, and tripled. Sam Haggerty and Ty France also had three hits apiece, and Chris Flexen limited Boston and the Red Sox to four hits over seven innings on Saturday to lead the Mariners to an 8-2 victory over the Red Sox. So the Mariners, surprise team right now. Brady Singer took the mound in the bottom of the first and struck out the side. Singer, who pitches for the Royals, he went seven impressive innings, and they ended up beating the Tigers in a 2-1 victory earlier today. Game was the fastest in the major leagues so far this year, 2 hours and 10 minutes for a 9-inning contest. So that is pretty awesome if you were someone who was watching that game. 2 hours and 10 minutes, you get to watch some baseball and go on with your day. The Diamondbacks were in Atlanta to take on the Braves. That was postponed due to rain, so they're going to make that up in a doubleheader tomorrow. And the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Colorado Rockies tonight 7-5. The White Sox beat the Rangers 2-1. And the Miami Marlins were in San Francisco. They beat the Giants 5-2. So that is everything that happened on a busy Saturday night in Major League Baseball. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show, but we know that we have to tally up those long balls, so let's do that right now.
Which Padre went deep tonight? Let's take a look at the Padres' home run tally. Brought to you by the Gomez Firm on the Padres Radio Network.
Hitting two home runs at Dodger Stadium on the anniversary of his dad's two Grand Slam game. And guess what? This one in the air. Deep to left field. Pollock at the wall. It's going to go. A leadoff home run for Fernando. And Tatis hits his third home run of the series. Padres jump in front 1-0 right off the bat. Second pitch of the night and a leadoff homer. Here it is from Bauer and reach four, hit in the air to left center field. Well struck again. Peters going back again at the wall. Gonna go!
Yes, sir.
Fernando with his second of the night off of Bauer. Got him in the first. He gets him in the sixth, and the Padres back in front 3-2. One eye, two eye, doesn't matter.
Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting four home runs in the past 2 days against the Dodgers. Those two tonight, though, solo shots, they bring the home run tally for the Padres up to 23 home runs on the season. So things are getting into place with Fernando Tatis Jr., and it's making everyone happy. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. The Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4 tonight. To move to 15-6 on the year, the Padres fall to 12-11. We have one more break to go in the postgame show, and we are going to preview tomorrow night's game. We're also going to tell you who our relief pitcher of the game is. That's all next on the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Which pitcher came in and slammed the door shut? Let's find out who's the relief pitcher of the game in partnership with the San Diego Food Bank, providing relief for tens of thousands of families affected by COVID-19. Become a donor or volunteer today at sandiegofoodbank.org.
Matt Scraby back with you here on the Padres postgame show, 97.3 The Fan, and the relief pitcher of the game tonight is going to be none other than the major league debut from Aaron Northcraft. It was his first Major League appearance after being drafted into Major League Baseball back in 2000. It happened. He got me at home, so probably payback time. It's just fun. When you know you're facing a guy like that, he's having fun, and you get him, and you celebrate, too. So all positive stuff out of Trevor Bauer tonight. Did not take offense to what Fernando Tatis Jr. did, and I'm really happy to hear that, because if there's anyone who should be able to take their own medicine, it is Trevor Bauer. Because if he's going to pound his chest and McGregor strut off the mound, then, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. can do his one-eyed thing as well. So that's all fun and good. Now, let's check in and find out who we are choosing for the player of the game.
Which player had the biggest impact on today's game? Let's take a look at the player of the game. Presented by Valley View Casino and Hotel. San Diego's favorite casino and dining.
Hitting two home runs at Dodger Stadium on the anniversary of his dad's two Grand Slam game. And guess what? This one in the air. Deep to left field. Pollock at the wall. It's going to go. A leadoff home run for Fernando. And Tatis hits his third home run of the series. Padres jump in front 1-0 right off the bat. Second pitch of the night. And a leadoff homer.
And our player of the game, Fernando Tatis Jr., two home runs. He went 2-for-5 tonight with two RBIs, two solo shots. He struck out twice, but he did end up getting to the Dodgers first. I got to admit, I walked out of the room for a second just to grab some water, do some things before I sat down and settled in, and I came back. Fernando had already had a home run, and I broke my rule. I never leave the room when Fernando's up to bat. I never do, and I did this time, and he made me pay for it. So I'm gladly going to pay for it. But Fernando Tatis Jr., at least for tonight, is the player of the game, and he has four home runs in the last two nights. So seems like he's kind of finding his way at the plate a little bit, and all of the panic can just go away. I think we play it on the show on Gwen and Chris when Aaron Rodgers said, relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Okay, enough of me doing spelling things on the radio. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. Let's find out what happened tonight in baseball.
Time to check the scores around the big leagues with the Out of Town Scoreboard on the Padres Radio Network.
Tampa Bay broke an eighth inning tie when Toronto third baseman Kevin Biggio let a grounder go between his legs, and the Rays went on to beat the Blue Jays of Florida 5-3. Tonight, Jordan Romano, reinstated from the 10-day injured list before the game, walked Brandon Lau and Mike Brousseau to start the eighth. And then old friend alert, Manny Margot hit a grounder that got past Biggio for the air, allowing Lau to score and put the Rays ahead 4-3. Brousseau was thrown out at the plate on shortstop Bo Bichette's relay from left fielder Lourdes Gurriel Jr., and and Margot advanced to third on the play and then later scored on Kevin Kiermaier's grounder. So Tampa Bay takes down the Blue Jays 5-3. This one was a heavyweight matchup of all heavyweight matchups in the pitching world. Gerrit Cole and the Yankees was one pitch better than Shane Bieber in a heavyweight matchup of aces, as Rougned Odor and Aaron Hicks homered off Cleveland's Cy Young winner in the fifth inning, giving the Yankees a 2-1 win over the Indians tonight. Cole is now 3-1. He struck out 11 and allowed just 3 hits in 7 innings to beat Bieber, who is now 2-2. In a rematch of their meeting in last year's playoffs, Cole's 50 strikeouts in his first 5 starts are the most for any pitcher in the Yankees' storied history. If you're going to set records as a Yankee, you're doing something very well, because the Yankees have so many good players in their history and so many seemingly unbreakable records. Shane Bieber, he struck out 9, the first time he hasn't reached double digits in 5 starts, and he tied Hall of Famer Randy Johnson's record with his 17th straight start of at least 8 strikeouts. And get this, Shane Bieber is only 25 years old. I didn't realize that. I thought he was much older than that. He's been at the major league level for a while, dominating. So 25-year-old right-hander allowed just 3 hits, but 2 of them are homers, and he threw a career-high 119 pitches. So the Yankees beat the Indians 2-1. The Angels were routed 16-2 by the Houston Astros today, and it came after a surprising relief pitcher made his major league debut. Kent Emmanuel had just sat down in the bullpen and was preparing to enjoy a cup of coffee during the first inning on Saturday. And he said after the game, quote, "All of a sudden they were like, hey, you better start loosening up. I was like, all right, here we go." After toiling in the minors for 7 long seasons, the Astros pitcher was thrown into his major league debut at just a moment's notice. Now get this. He worked 8 2/3 innings in relief, saving Houston's bullpen after Jake Odorizzi left early with an injury. I believe he was only 5 pitches in before he had to leave that game. The Astros routed the Angels again 16-2. But I don't think I've ever heard of a relief appearance that lasted 8 2/3 innings. It's ridiculous. Emmanuel said he's been expecting this moment for quite some time, so he was ready. He allowed 5 hits and 2 runs. He became the 4th pitcher in the modern era to have a relief outing of 8 2/3 innings or more in his debut, according to Stats. Joining Fred Smith in 1907, Maury Kent in 1912, and John Montefiusco in 1974. So I'm surprised even 3 of those guys have done that. That's pretty cool. Dusty Baker said after the game, "Sometimes it's better that a young man in his first outing doesn't have time to sleep on it or think about it. You just go out there and give him the ball." So he gets his debut out of the way, and the Astros win 16-2. Jed Lowry hit a 3-run home run, and the Oakland A's won their 13th straight game, building a big lead early and beating the Baltimore Orioles 7-2 on a pretty rainy Saturday night. This is the 3rd longest winning streak in Oakland history. The A's won 14 straight in 1988, and then they set an American League record with 20 consecutive victories in 2002. Cleveland broke that mark with 22 straight wins in 2017. And this current A's string is the longest in the majors since that long Indians run. The A's, they lost their first 6 games of the season, and they have now won 13 straight, and they've outscored opponents 83-36 during their winning streak. So A's are rolling. Joe Ross rebounded from the worst outing of his career by pitching 6 solid innings and helping himself in the RBI single as the Nationals beat the New York Mets 7-1 today. Ross allowed 5 hits and 1 walk while striking out 4. He gave up 10 runs in 4 1/3 innings against the Cardinals on Monday. Michael Conforto homered for the Mets in the 4th. New York, they threatened after Conforto's shot off the right field foul pole, but after giving up infield singles to J.D. Davis and Jeff McNeil, Ross came back from a 3-1 count and got James Buchanan to line out. The Mets, they just got 1 runner into scoring position against Ross and the trio of relievers, and Marcus Stroman takes the loss. Now, I tuned into this game because of Marcus Stroman, and I gotta say, he's a Trevor Bauer-esque guy. He makes news when he gets on the mound. He makes his start. And today, when I was watching, he got into a fight with the umpire during his warm-up pitches. I mean, not really a fight. They were just jawing back and forth and everything like that. But when Marcus Stroman is starting, tune in, because something cool and crazy is going to happen. Pinch hitter Manny Pena connected for a tie-breaking two-run homer in the seventh inning, and the Brewers held off the Cubs for a 4-3 victory today. Brent Suter pitched two scoreless innings in relief of Freddy Peralta, helping Milwaukee to its fourth win in five games. Josh Hader got three outs for his fourth save and four opportunities, working around a leadoff walk. Keston Hiura had three hits. He's trying to break out of his slump. And Colton Wong, who came off the IL, finished with two hits as the Brewers won the game 4-3. Cubs manager David Ross, he was ejected by plate umpire Corey Blazer in the ninth, following a strike one call on Jake Mariznick with a runner on first and none out. Mariznick then struck out on three pitches, so Brewers win 4-3. John Gant earned his first victory as a starter since 2018 by throwing six strong innings, and the Cardinals sent the Reds to their sixth straight loss, 2-0 today. Andrew Knysner, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, he was subbing for injured catcher Yadier Molina and Nolan Arenado. They both drove in a run. Dylan Carlson added three singles as St. Louis won a series for just a second time this season. After waiting out a rain delay of 2 hours and 20 minutes before throwing his first pitch, Gant allowed just three hits. The Reds now have lost for the eighth time in 10 games. Wade Miley gave up two runs on five hits in six innings and moves to 2-2. Michael Perez had three hits and three RBIs, helping Trevor Cahill and the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Twins tonight. Cahill, he permitted one run and two hits in six innings, and he retired the Twins in order in five of his innings. Minnesota lost for the 10th time in 12 games, so they are really having a tough time right now. Kyle Seager singled, doubled, and tripled. Sam Haggerty and Ty France also had three hits apiece, and Chris Flexen limited Boston and the Red Sox to four hits over seven innings on Saturday to lead the Mariners to an 8-2 victory over the Red Sox. So the Mariners, surprise team right now. Brady Singer took the mound in the bottom of the first and struck out the side. Singer, who pitches for the Royals, he went seven impressive innings, and they ended up beating the Tigers in a 2-1 victory earlier today. Game was the fastest in the major leagues so far this year, 2 hours and 10 minutes for a 9-inning contest. So that is pretty awesome if you were someone who was watching that game. 2 hours and 10 minutes, you get to watch some baseball and go on with your day. The Diamondbacks were in Atlanta to take on the Braves. That was postponed due to rain, so they're going to make that up in a doubleheader tomorrow. And the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Colorado Rockies tonight 7-5. The White Sox beat the Rangers 2-1. And the Miami Marlins were in San Francisco. They beat the Giants 5-2. So that is everything that happened on a busy Saturday night in Major League Baseball. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show, but we know that we have to tally up those long balls, so let's do that right now.
Which Padre went deep tonight? Let's take a look at the Padres' home run tally. Brought to you by the Gomez Firm on the Padres Radio Network.
Hitting two home runs at Dodger Stadium on the anniversary of his dad's two Grand Slam game. And guess what? This one in the air. Deep to left field. Pollock at the wall. It's going to go. A leadoff home run for Fernando. And Tatis hits his third home run of the series. Padres jump in front 1-0 right off the bat. Second pitch of the night. And a leadoff homer. Here it is from Bauer, and reach four, hit in the air to left center field, well struck again. Peters going back again, at the wall, gonna go!
Yes, sir.
Fernando with his second of the night off of Bauer. Got him in the first, he gets him in the sixth, and the Padres back in front, 3-2. One eye, two eye, doesn't matter.
Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting four home runs in the past 2 days against the Dodgers. Those two tonight, though, solo shots, they bring the home run tally for the Padres up to 23 home runs on the season. So things are getting into place with Fernando Tatis Jr., and it's making everyone happy. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. The Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4 tonight. To move to 15-6 on the year, the Padres fall to 12-11. We have one more break to go in the postgame show, and we are going to preview tomorrow night's game. We're also going to tell you who our relief pitcher of the game is. That's all next on the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Which pitcher came in and slammed the door shut? Let's find out who's the relief pitcher of the game in partnership with the San Diego Food Bank, providing relief for tens of thousands of families affected by COVID-19. Become a donor or volunteer today at sandiegofoodbank.org.
Matt Scraby back with you here on the Padres postgame show, 97.3 The Fan. And the relief pitcher of the game tonight is going to be none other than the major league debut from Aaron Northcraft. It was his first major league appearance after being drafted into Major League Baseball back in 2009. It's taken that long for him to make his major league debut, and he wasted none of it because he went two full innings. He only gave up a hit. He walked one, and he struck out two. Very impressed with Aaron Northcraft tonight. He came into a tight game, and he was able to not give up any runs, and that has to feel good. I mean, there's got to be a million times in his professional baseball career that he thought about hanging up the cleats, and he didn't, and it all paid off tonight. So very cool for Aaron Northcraft, and very cool for Padres fans to know that they have another relief pitcher that they can kind of count on. We'll see him and what he has to do in the next couple weeks and see where he goes for the rest of the season. So Aaron Northcraft, I keep saying that. I can't say it. Northcraft. It's a cool name, hard for me to say, but he's our relief pitcher of the game. Okay, that is all for today's game. The Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4. The Padres moved to 12-11 on the year. The Dodgers moved to 15-6. Trevor Bauer moves to 3-0 on the season after the win tonight. Pierce Johnson takes the loss. He moves to 0-1. Kenley Jansen gets the save, and it's his fifth of the year. Trevor Bauer struck out nine, went six innings, had five hits, gave up two earned runs and two home runs, both two solo shots of Fernando Tatis Jr. Blake Snell went 5 1/3, seven hits, two earned runs, walked two, struck out seven on 87 pitches. Bauer, he had 103 pitches and 72 of them for strikes. So Bauer is proving once again that he is worth the money that the Dodgers paid him. The time of the game was long. 3 hours and 53 minutes. 15,596 people watched the game at Dodger Stadium. And it was a chilly 61 degrees, is what this is telling me. What else do I need to say from this game? Oh, yeah. The Padres with runners in scoring position tonight. They were 2-for-7. And Grisham left three. Profar left two. Just not good. Not good. So Will Myers, though. Here's a positive point. Will Myers stole three bases tonight. So Will Myers, he has four on the season. He stole second base off of Trevor Bauer, and then he stole second base off of Alexander, and then his third steal was off Kenley Jansen. So good for Will Myers tonight. But that's it for the Padres. They are going to be taking on the Dodgers for one final game before they go on a big hiatus before they meet each other again in late June. They are not going to see each other for a while, so tomorrow is going to be the game that everybody is going to remember until they meet up again. They are going to be on Sunday Night Baseball, so the first pitch is at 4:08 p.m. tomorrow. Not something that Padres fans are used to, watching a game so late in the day, but it's going to be pretty awesome. Everybody is going to be watching. Everybody is going to be listening to the game tomorrow. It's going to be hometown hero Joe Musgrove with his 2-2 record and a 1.04 ERA, coming off 13 strikeouts against the Brewers earlier this week. He's taking on Dustin May of the Dodgers, who has a 1-1 record with a 2.93 ERA. So a great matchup tomorrow night, and it should be a great game to see. And Coach called it earlier, Game 7. Series is tied right now, 3-3. So let's see if the Padres can take the regular season Game 7 series tomorrow night on Sunday Night Baseball. Thanks to everyone who contributed tonight to the postgame show. Thanks to everyone who thanks to Carlos, who gave us a call earlier. Thank you to Brian Cohen, who ran the board and was my right-hand man tonight. Thank you to Dave Marcus, who is the on-site engineer. Thanks to Tony Gwynn Jr., Jesse Agler. Thanks to Adam Klug. Who else can I thank? I guess I can thank Fernando Tatis Jr. I think I can thank Blake Snell for giving a great interview after the game. And I can thank Aaron Northcraft for doing what he did, as well as having a tough last name for me to pronounce. So thank you for that, Aaron Northcraft. That will be it for tonight. I'm Matt Scraby. Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4 tomorrow. Pregame, 3:08 p.m. First pitch, 4:08 p.m. Have a great night, everyone. Be safe on 97.3 The Fan.